Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome into the Winklerverse. I'm Bart Winkler alongside Grant. It's Bills. Grant Bills and Paul Imig.
Close enough.
Yeah. Guys, thanks for being here on another installment of our edition, which if you are listening via the audio platform, you can also see on the Dan Shaney YouTube stream on YouTube. If you're on YouTube, you can check it out wherever you get your podcast. Now that that is settled, how are you guys?
Good. You did that. That was a good way to start, right?
I don't know.
It's almost like you are just trained at doing this 5 nights a week.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show alongside Carlos Ortiz and Marco Belletti. I am Bart Winkler. Tonight I'll probably be like, and the big news of the day, this fucking horse isn't racing in the Preakness.
I saw that.
God, I'm so happy. When I see that news that the horse is like not going for the Triple Crown, I get excited. I get more excited about that than I would a Triple Crown.
Load for management for a horse.
Yeah.
For what it's worth, talking to like the intro of your show, Bart, I almost texted this so that Grant could hear it. But Grant, did you hear Bart opening with Popovich retirement news like two or three nights ago? Or maybe it was last week?
I didn't.
Everyone throughout the whole day, right, is like, oh, Popovich retirement. And, oh, this is, you know, it's kind of, you know, it's just, what a day.
I thought I'd hear from you on this.
And Bart just is like, so Popovich retired. Am I supposed to care?
Yeah.
It was the most, you know, like if everything you say is like on the Bart scale of like the most Bartish, that was like a 10 on the Bartish.
Well, Pop yesterday, he's like, I'm no longer Pop. I'm El Jefe.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, that's so funny. And I'm like, how? What is fun? He's the boss in Spanish. Is this like a long time thing where he has done Spanish things? Is it something that you say when you, I feel like I'm missing a joke.
Yeah. I just appreciated that. Like, if you probably listened to your station, wherever someone was listening to that station throughout the day, let's say they listened to it 14 straight hours leading up till 9 p.m. Central Time. They probably heard hours of like Popovich is just wonderful and what a great coach, one of the best, which of course he was, but like all of this over the top stuff. And then you open the show with like, I mean, a coach retired. What do you want me to do?
Well, it seems like the things that I would like Popovich for, like him being very good and some of the things he speaks out on.
You say anything else?
It's the things that people are like, oh, well, he cuts people off in the, I hate that.
What does he do?
When he does those short sideline interviews and they're so awkward. And
yeah. Again, like I think you said this or said a version of it, but yeah, the badge of honor to get Popovich'd.
I don't get it.
I don't know either.
I don't either, but I don't lose sleep over it because he doesn't seem like a mean guy. He doesn't seem like a mean, spiteful guy. Like, there are coaches who are just a-holes, and that reflects on the way that they handle the media. I don't know. There's got to be an example. Belichick.
Names.
You know what I mean? Like, Belichick is not...
The guy from the Reds who told me to leave because I didn't have a question for him. Brian Pierce.
Is that the guy who gave us the, how the fuck does that benefit the Reds drop? Yeah. The same guy? So, again, there are guys who seem like jerks, and then it's just, it happens to come out against me. Popovich seems very nice and friendly, but he just likes being a dick to reporters for some reason. I don't get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It felt like I was going to, the thing I hate the most is eulogy radio.
Yeah, totally. 100%.
So I felt like if I start saying all these, like he's still alive.
Yes.
And also, I can't just eulogize. And I know I'm not giving the eulogy, but eulogy radio for those it's spending 10 to 15 minutes, like really compassionate and really caring and what they meant to you. I think the only time I would have done it this year is about Euchre.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you had to, and it's not my favorite thing to do either. So I understand where you're coming from there.
I mean,
There were a couple
just,
times
we it just can't be. It's just it's not for me. It's not what I excel at because I don't feel like I'm genuine if I do it.
Yeah, I mean, which is good.
Everyone's doing it.
Yeah, if I'm gonna do 15 minutes on Pop for how great he was and how much he meant, I'm gonna be like, you're acting. You're cosplaying. This isn't what you think. What you think is, yeah, he's a good coach, and now he's not coaching anymore, and I'm glad he's alive. That's what you think. So say that.
Yeah. Good for you. And there were a couple of times where you said something like, but also, guys, again, he's not dead.
Yeah.
He's not. He's right. Not dead. He's alive. Okay, he's not even, actually, you may consider he got a promotion.
He's not even done working for the Spurs.
He may have more duties than prior.
It was hard to watch him walk in and out of that press conference, though.
Yes, it was. I'm glad I said everything before I saw that.
Yeah, for sure.
Just know that your segment still had more touch and grace than Francesa on Stan Lee a couple years ago. One of my favorite sports radio clips of all time. You never seen that, Paul?
Mm-hmm.
A caller called in and was like, RIP to Stan Lee. And Francesa had no clue who he was.
Oh, geez.
Stan Lee. And then one of the producers is like, he did, you know, Marvel comic books. And Francesa goes, oh, who cares? It's like, what a dick. Oh, it's funny, though.
Oh, would you like my 30-second Thunderbolts review?
Sure. I'm sorry. I thought it was New Avengers. Do you not have the internet, Paul? Like, I don't even follow this stuff. Sorry
It's good. It's grounded. It's good.
What the hell does that mean?
It's not like... It's not like they just skip around planets in space and they're like, oh, here we are on this planet now.
Yeah,
sure.
I liked it way better than Brave New World, the Captain America one. They still like, I thought at one point, I don't know, Sometimes the stakes, you're like, oh, my God. And then they're like, oh, okay.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Sometimes they're like, and I still have, like, questions about. It's just the Marvel universe is so big that I always leave with these questions that I don't think are that insane to ask. But why don't they think about them on the movie?
Yeah.
Like, we've seen Daredevil now and Thunderbolts and all these things happen in New York. Like, at some point, Spider-Man's got to be like, hey, I might go help out.
Right.
Yeah. The universe is too big now.
Yeah. You need a reason at least that like, oh, he's tied up in this other thing. And yeah.
Yeah. And I want to know, I want to hear them say that.
Could someone accidentally go to Thunderbolts having not really seen much of the rest and watch and enjoy a good movie?
You could. There's enough of the exposition that they share, like, you understand all these people have troubled past.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Ghost is in the movie and Ant-Man and the Wasp came out 7 years ago. I don't think anybody even remembers her character.
Yeah. I'm not even sure I do.
It was very good. A lot of heart.
Mm.
And you know, post-credit scene was good.
Directed by Avengers.
Yeah. Russo's, yeah, yeah. So, very good. I may go try to see this one again.
Wow. Bring the kiddo?
No, he doesn't really know who any of these people are.
Mm-hmm. Red Guardian is now at Disneyland.
I saw. Mm-hmm. Avengers Campus.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to get there. All right, so that's my Thunderbolts review. My review of Happy Place Hemp is that it's yummy and it works. HappyPlaceHemp.com, the promo code is Bart. That's all I gotta say. It's yummy and it works. What more do you need? It's tasty and it's effective. It does the job and it's good in your mouth. Gummies and tinctures and the seltzers, I'm a big fan of as well. You got a problem there, El Jefe? The hell are you laughing at?
You talking to me?
Yeah.
That's just not what I expected you to say.
Well, I got new copy.
Oh, I was going to say they gave that to you?
No, God, no.
I was going to say.
No, sorry, guys. HappyPlaceHemp.com. Not sorry about the code. 25% off, Bart. When you enter it in, 25% off all their products, HappyPlaceHemp.com. For those that may be wondering, I am not pregnant. I feel like I'm glistening a little bit. I feel like I just got out of the shower and now I'm down in my basement. I'm very warm. The other day I was playing basketball with my kid and I hid the ball like behind me. Mm. And he touched my belly thinking that was the ball. So we have issues. What do you got for us, Paul?
El Jefe. Right.
We are going to talk about Giannis. The follow-up, the sequel to what we talked about last week when we were really ahead of the conversation. And now I'm just extremely annoyed at even the national media who I like. Like folks in national media that I like. Now they're talking about it and I don't like what they have to say. So that's a teaser. But I do want to start with the thing that's most aggravating to me at the moment. And I want to ask you this. The Indiana Pacers, the current present-day Indiana Pacers, are your least favorite team in all of sports right now. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm.
I think Bart should go first because I think my answer will play nicely after we hear his answer.
Bart Winkler, the Indiana Pacers, right now, present day, current, your least favorite team in all of sports. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm.
Ooh. So the first two other ones that came to mind.
Okay. 49ers?
49ers and the Cubs.
Okay. And even so, Bears and Vikings aren't even.
Well, the Bears.
Irrelevant.
Bears is going to get right back up there once they're like 3-3 and my timeline's inundated with, you know, the guys on the score talking about how Caleb Williams is actually better than Jaden Daniels, even though the Commanders are 5-1.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Which hosts on the score specifically will that be?
Every.
I'll have to look them up.
Rami.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I'm close to saying, here's my problem with the Pacers. If I may, I'll give you a compliment. They know who they are. They know how to play a game that allows them to win.
Mm-hmm.
Like that sounds simple, but look at the Boston Celtics the other night. They took 60 threes. They missed about a three-point shot every 1 minute and 1 second. Playoff record. Jason Tatum, world-class basketball player. You see his shot chart against 6'1 Jalen Brunson?
Yeah.
He's taking step-back threes. Okay? The Celtics... There's a better version of the Celtics, but they don't, they just chuck up enough threes. And if they make them, they're going to win. And typically the Celtics will have a game where they're 15 of 60 and still win. They're just good. I mean, they're a talented team and they can get past their mistakes. So the Pacers know who they are. I'm trying to figure out why, if it takes three guys to stop Giannis Antetokounmpo with a wall, why one of these coaches can't just put a guy on Tyrese Halliburton.
It is strange.
I mean, Brooke Lopez opens the velvet rope for him. And then the Cavs were doing the same thing. He can get anything he wants at the rim. I think what's my issue is the same issue I had with Russell Wilson after the fail Mary.
Mm-hmm.
There's no acknowledgement of how you got the success. It was a fail Mary. It was incomplete. It was touchdown. And he didn't say, I just say something like, wow, that was a crazy play. Or never seen that before, or happy to be on the receiving end of that one. Instead, he's all like, oh, I knew it, you know, glory be to, you know, it's like, okay. With Tyrese Halliburton and TJ McConnell and Miles Turner and Siakam and all these guys, they're acting like they are slaying dragons. They are acting like they are David beating Goliath. And it's possible that they are, but the Goliaths they are beating are in hospice care and they are still like celebrating as if they were the ones that put him there.
Mm-hmm.
The series last year against the Bucks, injured and got more injured. The Knicks lost guys as the series went on. The Bucks this year, Dame hurt, comes back hurt again. Even the Cavs without Garland, and now we'll see about Tuesday night, now the Cavs are falling victim to the same curse.
Yeah.
If there was any acknowledgement or any recognition, I don't know that what do you want him to do? Say it, we're taking advantage of injured teams. I think I do. I just don't want him to be like, it'll be 9-6 tonight. And Tyrese is going to scream into a basketball.
Yeah.
Like, relax, dude. So, do I hate them the most?
Least favorite team in all of sports. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm.
I still think the 49ers have a little more for me.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
I really do hate them.
So, Grant, I'm going to kick it to you because my answer is a definitive, quick, don't have to think much about it. Mm-hmm. And what I said to you guys,
the Pacers feel like this is a thing we have to deal with and then it will go away.
See, but I will watch the 49ers, who I also dislike. I will watch other teams I dislike. This reminds me of, and I kind of mentioned this, but X-Pac, the wrestler, used to get what they called like go away heat. You know, like, we're not booing you because, oh, you're a heel and boo. We're booing you because we don't want to see you.
Yeah.
The Pacers for me are go away heat. I'm not going to watch them until they're done. I tried and I realized I'm not able to. That's a me problem.
Well, it's watching the Pacers. It's like the team that they're playing against becomes the Bucks already. Like, now you're super into the Cavs. You don't care about the Cavs.
No. Right.
But you need them to beat the Pacers.
I'm a big Knicks fan right now. I don't hate the Celtics like I do the Pacers, but I'm like, go Knicks, even though I was cheering for the Pistons 5 days ago. But the Pacers...
That one's tough because my kid is a Celtics fan. Ugh. Then I tell you this, so he's in this little league, and they assign five teams. You're in a Milwaukee area league. Shorewood. Bucks, Pacers, Kings, Bulls, Celtics. Like, it was green jerseys. I guess who else would they be?
Don't have a green jersey.
The Bucks are green. Be convenient.
Who did they let the Bucks be? They might have let the Bucks. Yeah, the Bucks were like, it was red, yellow, purple, green, and black. The Bucks were black.
Dumb.
Anyway, you can't do that because then this kid's always going to like the, like, for the longest time, I liked the Red Sox because that's the team I was in kindergarten.
Mm.
So maybe it'll fade away.
Maybe.
I was Tim McGraw in kindergarten. I never had this experience of having a sports team. It wasn't my thing. Interesting that you guys had that.
Great. Something good to add here.
Yes.
Pacers, your least favorite team in sports.
Mm-mm. No. In fact, I think if not for the Pacers eliminating the Bucks in back-to-back years, I don't know that I'd have strong feelings against them at all. I think it all stems from that, which is reasonable and fine.
No,
first of all, and I said this on my show last night, I'm going to say it more tonight because Justin's coming on, and he's coming on because I was texting with him about this, and he was agreeing with everything I'm saying. It's like, can you please do this when other people are
listening? And he's a Blues fan. I was thinking about him the other night.
Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna surprise him with that at the beginning of our hit. But the Pacers are way better than Bucks fans want to admit. Like, yes, they've capitalized on injury luck.
They are.
And it seems like they're doing it again. They're good. They play with great pace.
Well, I don't think they're good. They just know how to maximize their ability as a team. Is that the definition of good?
I think that's part of it.
Oh, shit. Okay.
I think their role players like Nembhard and Nesmith all raising their level in the postseason instead of forgetting how to fucking play like Torian Prince and others. Like, that's a big part of it. They play with great pace. They're fun. They rebound. They were pulling rebounds down in crunch time over the Cavs, who are running two bigs. You know what I mean? Like, the Cavs should be scooping up everything, and they couldn't secure a ball on a defensive rebound to try to come back in the last 2 minutes. I think the Pacers are way better than most Bucks fans want to admit, myself included. I think Tyrese Haliburton is a bit of a dork, although he was my guy when he was on the Kings. I think his dad is a loser and a moron based on what he said on Milwaukee TV. Like, I was looking through him. It's like, okay, yeah. Like, I guess if you can say that and think people are going to buy it, I guess that tells us what we need to know about you. I think they might just win the East. The Pacers might. I think they're really good. And I don't like them because they beat the Bucks. But other than that, like, that's kind of the only reason why.
So let me just add to that and say, I've told you this, guys, you guys this before. I like the NBA and watching the NBA. I'm an NBA fan before I'm a Bucks fan.
You are. Fan of the league.
Fan of the league. My hatred for the Pacers, and like, it's probably different than some Bucks fans, maybe even than Bart's. I know what I like to watch in basketball, and I know what I don't like to watch in basketball. And because basketball is so good at like showing the personalities of players, it's very easy to love or hate a basketball player because they're so expressive and they don't have helmets and hats and whatever else.
Mm-hmm.
And once I'm out, like, again, the best analogy I can use, and I think it's the right one, is like X-Pac.
Not heat. Another hospice one. Oh, okay.
No, X-Pac heat. I mean, it's the idea of go away heat, where it's like, I'm not interested in your product. It's a TV show. Watching a Pacers game is watching a show. I don't like this show. I don't like the characters involved, and I'm just not going to fucking watch it. It's better for me if I just don't watch it. And that's,
I like when Paul swears. You know, it's got a little more oomph to it.
Yeah.
They're selective. There's only a few things I get like kind of passionate about, and this, I don't want to watch it. So I'm not going to. And thus they have go away heat. They have X-Pac heat, and they are my least favorite team in sports. And though the Cubs would be a close second, like, just Council leaving the Brewers for the Cubs and some of the stuff that followed probably would have been flip-flopped 1 and 2, but you know, whatever. The Cubs are good. I'm not super bothered by it personally at the moment. And the Pacers make me not watch playoff basketball, and that is a hard thing to do, to get me to not watch playoff basketball.
I would like to just pivot off your Council thing.
Please.
What are our May 2025 feelings on Council? I no longer have the white hot rage that I once felt, but I do. I've processed that, and it has gone into the assembly line. And every time I see him, like, I'm no longer like, it's not that I'm mad at him. I just look at him. I'm like, that guy sucks.
Yeah,
he's a loser of a person.
Yeah, I was gonna say before you said what you said, I was like, yeah, he's just a turd.
Yeah,
yeah, he's fine. Yeah. I mean, he's, again, like you say, you look, he's like, oh, okay, when. Some of the decisions that happened and the way in which they happened and then the comments that followed, and then you go back to the always a Brewer, just like one of you stuff. Like, again, you can't, well, things change and like new information. I'm fine with people changing their mind, but you can't stand on certain ledges like he did and say some of the things that he did. I mean, it would honestly be like, and we can transition to the Giannis topic with this if you want, but it's like the reports today are Los Angeles or New York, and maybe Miami. When every Giannis quote ever that has talked about or hinted at or alluded to where he would play if it wasn't Milwaukee was like, not the big cities. It's like, so now if Giannis makes a trade request, which I'm fine with, you know, we talked about it last week. Like, I think it's actually the right thing for everyone involved. I don't want national media talking about it and telling me that certain players can't be in it for whatever reasons. But like, I'm fine with that. But then if Giannis is like, it has to be New York or LA, I'm going to be like, still love Giannis. He's not going to ever get like Council, but it's like, huh? I want to at least know like what changed. And I don't think Council ever explained what changed other than money. But what would he not admit? That it was about money.
Saying that would go a long way.
If you're just like, hey, I want to make the most money I possibly can. Fuck yeah, man. Go for it. But if you're going to be like, no. Like, it's for these other 17 reasons. Money. Because now I'm like,
he could have come out and say, look, I just want to talk to Brewers fans. I meant everything that I've ever said. I love my childhood. I love growing up here. I can't even believe that I had this job. As I've been a manager for a little longer, it's so painful to say, but I'm not getting the resources that I think that I want to build a championship, and I want to be a winner. I was a winner as a player. I need to be a winner as a manager. And yes, they are offering me more money, and I'm only human. But I don't want it to get to this point. I never thought this isn't. I'm not trying to leave you guys. I don't want to leave Milwaukee. I want to be there as much as I can. But for for what I do. I just, this is what I feel like I need to do. And I only live once and I just got to do it.
Like, actually, hey, that. What, first off, that would have been so different, so much better. Instead, he scoffs when he sees McKelvey and another report. He's like, what are you doing here?
How can I possibly come out and be like, oh, fuck this guy, when he's like said a nice, sincere thing? You can't. I'd be the jerk.
Well, I want to say this too, and then Grant, please feel free to jump in, obviously. But like what you described, Bart, reminded me of when Daniel Bryan became Bryan Danielson. And he wrote this long thing for The Athletic or somebody, right? Where it was like, I hope you'll find me, you'll continue with me on my journey. If you don't, I understand. But I really appreciate you supporting me all these years. Everything I ever said about being in WWE, I meant for my next path. Like, I really hope you'll come with me on this journey. But if you don't, thank you for all your years of love and support. Nothing changes. Council could have done that. And like, did most people follow him to AEW? Like, not really, right? Like, it wasn't like, and that's fine. But like, at least have some humility and some level of like, I don't know, human
sense. Council acts like this is a thing that is happened to him and not a thing that he is choosing.
Yeah, right.
Like,
I was drafted by the Cubs.
Yeah, like, it's so weird. Yeah. It's so weird.
So I think of him and I think of, oh, this is a liar and I don't trust this person, so fuck him.
Yeah.
That's what I don't like. I don't like that you can do whatever you want, as long as, to your point, Bart, and to your explanation, which is a very, very good one, that there was some level of explanation instead of just like, it's not about the money. Like, bro, it's cool. Go get money. It's great. Rock and roll. Don't lie about it. Now you're a liar.
So, Bart, you've worked in sports radio, and Paul, you've been very into sports radio, even though it maybe hasn't been your gig like it has been Bart's. Something that I constantly need to remind myself of, and callers will occasionally broach this as well, is that fan is short for fanatic. And it would be nice if Council came out and was honest about it. He'd still be a scumbag and a suck and a dick. Yeah. And I'm a Brewers fan, so screw him. But you are right. I think he did make it worse by, honestly, I was a little surprised. You're too smart for that, mm-hmm. I think. You've been praised as boy genius forever, so I guess I'm assuming. But I assume you're smart enough to ruin Keston Hiura. You're smart enough to realize that Brewers fans might not love the fact
he did ruin Keston Hiura the same way Aaron Rodgers ruined Amari Rodgers.
So that, sure. Sure. No, and I
bound on that.
I was the leader of the Keston Hiura sucks club forever until now. I can use it against Craig Council. No, I'd still screw him. I still hate him. But
How about this impromptu topic? An MLB manager almost has zero effect on a team's win loss record.
You tell me this. The Queen of England has no effect on the national morale and approach of England.
So you're saying you're a figurehead. You're a mascot.
Figurehead, yes. Mascot, no.
Okay, fine.
Mascot figurehead. Seems childish.
Okay,
fine. Figurehead,
I thought last year the team had a different identity, which was reflective of Pat Murphy's identity. Mm-hmm. And I think towards the end of Council's tenure, the team started taking on Council's, like, standoffish, I hate being alive identity.
I agree. Then ultimately you'd say, like, did that change the win-loss record?
Yeah, it has to.
You would think.
Morale changes your productivity.
I think that's probably fair. But then let me follow up with this. The MLB manager has less impact on wins and losses compared to an NFL head coach or an NBA head coach. So the MLB has the least impact on win-loss compared to the
three. When do we get mad at managers? When they
make a bad bullpen decision.
Can I just say something?
When they pinch hit a guy in the playoffs who... Okay, go ahead.
Grant, I think we talked about this before. I don't know if it was on here. But this fucking schedule that they have...
It's stupid.
Houston, Tampa, Cleveland, Minnesota, Baltimore. We got to get rid... I want to go back to two divisions of seven. Interleague play is gone. National League doesn't have the DH. This version of baseball is too corporate for me.
Corporate, I just don't understand. Like, I like a little interleague play. It was always cool growing up because it was a novelty. It's like, ooh, the Brewers are playing the Yankees this week? What? I need to pay attention to that. But
like when the Yankees came to town once every 6 years.
Yeah.
This balance schedule, so maybe we don't go as extreme, but the balance schedule sucks. I hated that I would go to 5 different Brewer games in a season, and I'd end up seeing the Pirates 4 times.
Oh, it drove me nuts.
But also, I do kind of miss that.
I don't miss that many times. But there's a middle ground between what we have now and what we used to have, right? Like, there's no reason that the Brewers should be playing American League. Attendance is already like, eh. And now it's like, oh, come into town, or, you know, they're going on the road if you want people to watch on TV. Like, these matchups just don't do it for me. It's like, but now you get to see all the teams. Bitch, for the first time in human history, you can see any team anytime you want. The time to have interleague play was 30 years ago, not now.
And in a sport where, like, makeups and doubleheaders are common, you're playing so many games, where do you squeeze them in? The Washington Nationals and Guardians got suspended on Monday, postponed. So they're doing a doubleheader on Tuesday, playing an 11 a.m. game on Wednesday. They're going to play 3-game series in 24 hours.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Yeah.
And it's not a
doubleheader today. And then they got an early Wednesday getaway day.
Mm.
Stupid. One other thing that's stupid, and then we can talk about Giannis.
Mm-hmm.
They're using that 90s NBA on NBC voice guy. They're recreating him via AI to now deliver the packages, because it's one thing to have the theme, but now we have to have this AI voice who they're going to use. It'd be like if Dodgers games were still called by Vin Scully. It would be horrible.
Yeah.
I hate where AI is heading, because I hate that it's taking over jobs. I don't even like if you go to like a fast food restaurant and you type in your order on the kiosk. And that should be somebody that takes your order. Now, have I used AI? Have I used these large scale models or whatever? Have I used AI? You know, every Friday I have to do a NASCAR preview. So I ask Grok to give me a 3-sentence preview of the NASCAR week.
Stop.
I do. But I don't feel like that's taking away anyone's job.
I think what you're describing.
When SNL, they lost Jim Pardo or Don Pardo?
Don, yeah.
Daryl Hammond took over as the Bill Hader, Jerry O'Terry. He took over as that. Still kind of sounds like him, so he's emulating him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still a human person. And the thing about this is, this Jim Fagan guy, when you die, if you're in this business, you can assume that your works may be discovered by other people. Same mm-hmm. with acting. You know, Cary Grant movies. Why? I don't know why I picked him. But what if the new Marvel movie came out starring Jimmy Stewart? Well, I'm Iron Man.
Screw you.
Like, he doesn't know that he's doing this. And that's what sucks.
All right.
They don't know that he's dead.
I'm going to connect this for you. Maybe you've thought of this part, maybe you haven't, but I'm pretty sure you're going to resonate with it. And then you're going to say it on national radio.
We lost to Infinity Stones.
I think I'm going to say something that I can't top that, so I'll just go with the following thought. I think this take of yours, which I agree with, it'll be nostalgic to hear the voice, like it'll be nostalgic to hear Round Ball Rock, it's whatever, but he doesn't have a say in it, which reminded me, as you were just saying this, of your take of, what am I going to say, of a
retired
jersey.
Retired numbers.
And the family of the deceased player saying, oh, sure, Malik Nabers, I think it was last year, right? Where the family, was that the...
Because they're probably like, no one knows who our great-grandpa is. We can get free tickets now because they totally don't care about us.
So, I mean, someone, presumably in what was the NBA on NBC? What was it, Fagan, right?
Yeah.
The family's going to make money from that. So of course they say yes, because maybe they think like they get to further immortalize like their father, grandfather, whatever their relationship with him is. But like, I don't think you have that right to make that decision unless he wrote in his will something like, all my likeness, my NIL can be used by my family's discretion. Like, okay, fine. But guessing that's not what happened. And therefore, like, it's kind of gross, right? It's just like, don't ask for the deceased player's great grandkids.
Well, it is gross. Use
the phone, the jersey number, and don't, like, I don't know.
It's gross, but we're going to get past it. And then the line will get moved.
Yeah.
And then you will get to where, you know, like I said, you'll be like, all right, on this feed, you can watch the Dodgers broadcast, but on this feed, we have an AI recreation of what it would sound like if Vin Scully called the game.
Sure.
You will be able to do that within the next, whatever I say, many years, probably one third of that time.
Yeah, right.
And I don't.
Could you now? Probably.
So the argument is, well, does that make his memory more cherished? Does it bring him to a new generation? Does it let people continue to discover him? And I just go back to like, this guy has no idea that this is happening. He is dead. He is a dead person.
Whose voice is now being used. All you can say is against his will, because what say does he have?
It's just, I don't know. I I'm a late night show, so I bring this stuff up sometimes, but it's like, I think it's going to shit. I think everything's going to shit. And I mean like in this particular arena where what entertainment is 10 years from now, the options that we're going to have, you will be able to do that. You're going to be able to at one point, and now it won't be as good as the real thing at first. But if you want to say, like, when's it going to be, 20 years, 30 years? Are you going to be able to tell an AI model, hey, I love that MCU, but make it a little more interconnected and make sure the X-Men and Fantastic Four are in it from the jump. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be able to put out 15 movies for you to watch.
Probably.
Hey, take Seinfeld and make a new season as if it's present day. I think you'll be able to do that at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And so the media is going to be more fractured. Now, if these people are like, oh, as long as I get paid, fine. But what if I did that with I Love Lucy? What if I did that with the Honeymooners? These people died at it. There weren't even like color TVs when they died. So I'm just very fearful. And I'll bring this up tonight on a sports radio show. But I'm very fearful of what like art is going to be and who it's going to be created by.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you. I know you didn't all expect a more serious undertone, but you know, I got to pick my spots.
So Giannis trades.
Grant, I keep using your line about how this is the window. If you want to talk about Giannis trades, this is now.
Yeah.
After this, we're done.
Before this.
But also, if you're going to do it now, I would like an apology for wasting all of our time. And if you're going to do it now, don't just be like, oh, anonymous report says Houston, LA, or New York. Give me something that's not, you know, that you could just make up out of thin air.
And we've had crap like that for years. Like,
hey, Giannis was in New York. Giannis was in New York last week with his wife walking around. Oh, you mean like as she was giving birth in Milwaukee, though? That picture was from a different time. I remember seeing it when they were in New York like 3 years ago.
It's like people saying that Jordan Love was at the Met Gala when it was a picture from it. That was actually a good controlling job. That back thing, by the way, was taken so out of context. He was reporting that people around the league, right? Wasn't he? And Beck is, oh my, I'd rather put an ice pick in my skull than listen to that. He sucks as a podcast guest. He's not good. But he's like, I think what he said was around league circles, he's hearing those teams, not that Giannis prefers those teams.
But that's not how it gets disseminated.
Right.
Of course.
It gets disseminated, you know, tomorrow morning, Giannis wants to play in LA. I don't know how many times I need to say that I have boots on the ground at swimming. And he sits there with his kid on his chest, unbothered.
Mm-hmm.
By the hundred of people in this building that know he's Giannis. And he might get a hello, and he might get a whatever, but he gets to walk around and be Giannis. I don't know. It's not a public park, so I mean, you do have to like sign up for lessons here, so maybe I'm overstating things. But I still think if you saw Giannis at a public park, wouldn't you just be like, oh my God, Giannis is here. Oh my God, say hi. Oh, I don't want to. And then you do what I did. Congrats on the cup.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think like you've been here for 15 years. And it's not even about that. I think he wants to prove him wrong and try to win here.
I think he's just competitive enough to do exactly that. I don't know that it will work. It will not work in 2025, 2026 season. Like there's just no there's
So
no
then way. He knows that, so then he can like just you know, the team can carpet bag and he can put up 35, 10, and 10 a game and get the MVP.
And be in the play-in tournament. I don't know.
I think people are...
Maybe that is okay. I don't know.
People are talking about Giannis like he's going to leave. As if like, well, he can't do Milwaukee anymore. Anywhere else he's got to go. And I just don't think he's wired that way. Mm-hmm. And I think we've seen plenty of stars leave because they feel like they have to. And it's like, well, your next spot was worse. And then you left again, and your next spot got even worse. Like, we've been slowly watching Kevin Durant's career atrophy ever since he left Golden State. He's chasing this thing. He can't find it.
Yeah.
So, if Giannis asks for a trade, I think it's reasonable. It's more likely now than ever before, and I think the circumstances might allow for it. I also think there's a great chance that Giannis is like, okay, the two places I might end up are Houston and L.A. I don't want to live there, and I don't like those players. Ah, fuck it. I'm just going to stay. Mm-hmm. And I think he is more likely to do that than other stars. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. I think the thing I was going to say too is if you know, you guys have both said something to the extent of you know, now is the window. You can talk about it now. You can, but I think if you talked about it, like we need to come up with a number of minutes. If you are a national NBA media person and you talked about Giannis trades for more than fill in the blank number of podcast/television minutes/radio minutes. You're disqualified from talking about it now. You've lost your credibility. You, like everything you say, if you were like doing the same story 3 years ago and 6 years ago and 8 years ago, you're not allowed to now. You're not allowed to now. Like you've been disqualified. What you have to say is irrelevant, and I don't think you should be allowed to do it. Now, Oklahoma City losing game one. I think they're going to win the series. I'm not.
What a stupid way to lose.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to lose the series. Houston has already lost. And I think the way I want to take this Giannis conversation is sort of like the sequel to what we talked about last week when we were ahead of it to some degree or to a large degree. So Grant, you said this last week. You mockingly said, and I said this to you. I said, are you saying that mockingly? And what you were saying was like, oh, well, like Amen Thompson can't be in the deal because blah, 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 blah. And then that became more of a thing. I really like listening to Simmons and Russillo talk basketball. I do. It's sometimes it's, you know, funny and in ironic ways that they aren't trying to be funny, but like I get entertainment value out of it and I learn things about things and it's good. I enjoy it. I really, really like Zach Lowe. And he's wonderful. Like the best. I don't think there's anybody I would rather listen to basketball about. But when I hear these guys say that Giannis to Houston, but Amen Thompson is untouchable. Don't even ask about him. What I learned when I was on the Packers beat that I'll always have with me, this will make sense, Grant. I know
I'm not mocking you. I love what you don't do this enough.
But here's what I learned. I loved Pardon the Interruption. Loved it. Loved it. Loved it. Loved it. I took it as gospel in my like late teens and early 20s. I wrote a thing in college called.
Did you ever play drinking PTI where you took a shot after every time they changed the subject?
Oh, wow. Was that a thing?
I mean, it was the thing one time you did it, and then you're like, can't do that ever again.
I just basically I'm died. Drinking. That's you can't, not a game. That's just
you're taking 16 shots in 30 minutes.
4 in the afternoon, you're just completely trashed. But I did write an article in college for the newspaper called The Best Hour on TV, and it was PTI and Around the Horn. I wrote that. Took it all as gospel. And then what I realized is when you work on a beat for an individual team, then you watch the national guys who you love talk about your team, they're fucking so wrong.
Yeah.
And it's not their fault. You can't cover 30 teams, 32 teams across an entire league effectively. So you're kind of like picking here and you're picking there. So like some of my friends last night or 2 days or whatever it was were like texting me like, now Zach Lowe is saying that Amon Thompson's untouchable. And I like, I shared the story with them that I'm sharing with you now, which was like, as much as I love Zach Lowe, as much as I like Russillo and Simmons talking Bucks, it's too disconnected. So it's like, well, who's right then? Are we too homerish? Are we too close to it? And if this is anything like my experiences on the Packers, when I would hear PTI talk about Packers, I'm like, that's not right. Like if it was any of the other NFL teams, I would have said, whoa, interesting. But when it was about the Packers, I said, that's just so factually incorrect that now I think everything you're saying about the other teams is wrong. So now what, like, do you have to stand on? Like, this is very like, okay, you've been, so you're just wrong about every team. Because it was wrong about the Packers. Maybe I'm selectively choosing, but like that was my experience with it when I was, you know, on a team's beat. So I think the Giannis thing, we can talk about Amon Thompson and all the other stuff, but like to me, it's frustrating to hear really respected, smart NBA people. And what I would say is if the Bucks trade Giannis to Houston and Amon Thompson is not in the deal, it doesn't mean I was wrong. It means John Horst got fucking fleeced. So if Giannis is a Rocket and Amon Thompson is a Rocket, it's not because Simmons and Russillo and Zach Lowe are right. It's because John Horst fucked up. End of discussion for me.
I think if you're going to trade a superstar, you have to look at it like, wow, that was a good, like the Bucks got the better end of the deal, which is impossible to do.
You have to get like 150 cents on the dollar to trade a superstar in the NBA. You just do. And you don't get
100. Mikhail Bridges went for all of it.
300 cents on the dollar.
Yeah. I
mean, Rudy Gobert for first. Mikhail Bridges, what is it, five?
Yeah.
Well, he had a good steal.
he was good. I like him.
He played really well in overtime. He was big for them in overtime.
Yeah.
I just think, could there be a world, Paul, where they don't get Amon Thompson, but they get all the other things? Or do you know what I'm saying? Like,
no one can score on that team.
Right.
I need Şengün if we're going to trade Giannis.
I think
they won't do that, though.
But my point is, like, you can have all the picks and other things, or not Thompson, or Thompson and not all the picks. And for a team without any picks, the Bucks without any picks, maybe they would prefer the lesser of the players and more picks. You know what I mean? If you have to tip the scale one way or another.
No, it's possible. I agree with what you're saying. And it actually reminds me of when Gobert was traded to the Wolves who, you know, gave up so much for Rudy. That might have been, the Wolves could win the title because of that unbelievable overpay for Rudy freaking Gobert. That's very possible that is a championship changing trade, but nevertheless, the Wolves paid like crazy. The one thing they wouldn't do was include Jaden McDaniels in that deal. That was like their, we want Rudy. Here's all our stuff, but you're not having Jaden McDaniels. And though Jaden McDaniels is a very good player and more respected, now at the time it was like he was like a second year player, like he was very good and had upside, but it wasn't like, wait, you would have like torpedoed the deal over Jaden McDaniels at the time. Now you're like, wow, yeah.
Well, what if the Warriors torpedoed to not include Jonathan Kuminga?
See, but then you overplay your hand, and then Kuminga becomes a guy you can't play in the playoffs. And who could be on the Warriors right now if they had sold on Kuminga 2 years ago? They could have had serious star pieces.
Or if they had just drafted anybody good with either of their two picks. Like if they had not taken Wiseman and they had taken Franz or somebody else. Like,
yeah, right.
Their whole two timelines thing never really got off the ground. Bye, Paul. By the way, Paul, your comment about local versus national, you could make hundreds of thousands in radio consulting. All you have to do is meet with sports radio professionals and be like, in national, you need to know a little about a lot. And in local, you need to know a lot about a little. And then everyone there goes, oh, that's fucking smart. Yeah, that's a good point. Thank you for coming in. That's literally all you have to.
I love it. Maybe you just gave me a business idea.
There you go.
Seems very possible. So let me ask you this. Mm-hmm, then we can be done. We can talk about Giannis trades. They cannot. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm.
I feel like they can if they consult us.
Sure. If you
like Eric's article, Name's article,
yeah,
where four different guys proposed trades to him.
Yeah.
And on three of the trades, he was like, this is bad.
Right.
This is a bad, you think you're, how stupid are you?
Right.
And then one might have been the last one. Like, okay, you're getting closer.
Yeah.
But it's like if you're going to consult someone who covers the team or who,
yes.
Like, don't just be in your bubble where Jason Tatum should have been the MVP the last 3 years.
Which goes back to my PTI thing is like for $50 an hour, I would have consulted for PTI and helped them not look like horses' asses talking about the Packers from 2011 to 2015. Like, to your point, have a guy on the ground who can at least, like, you know, steer you to say, like, no, that's way off, right? But otherwise, like, a lot of this other stuff is, like, in the same sentence that you're saying Giannis is going to be traded to one of these teams, you're putting guys on the other team in the Giannis trade as untouchable, don't ask. That's nuts. You like, don't trade I think for Giannis and have an untouchable list. You just don't.
It's a buildup of 10 years of trying to make this happen where they've created their own sense of fatigue where they think the Bucks should just
do us
a favor and just give Giannis away.
Yes. Yes.
So we can be done with this thing you've created for a decade.
It's a good point. That's an interesting point.
Yeah. Thank you. I'll also take that to the air tonight.
Yes. And again, I think we texted about this, but like, it's like I said, if Horst gets all the other stuff, but didn't get Amen Thompson, like, can he still get a good grade as the GM for the Bucks? I don't know. I mean, I think you have to leave with the other team's best asset. And I don't know. And Amen Thompson, like, it's like, yeah, well, Shengun's really good too. Yes, but he makes a lot of money. You still have like 2.5-3 years of controllable rookie scale Amen Thompson. So like, that's part of the equation. But then like, I don't know. It just the whole thing to me is frustrating that you would have this conversation and then say like, well, but don't include the best asset from the other team that's acquiring the superstar player. What?
I also just think that the compensation in a trade, like a hypothetical Giannis trade, part of the compensation is means to the next Giannis. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like very rarely we give you Giannis and you give us like the Paul George, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander thing is pretty rare. Mm-hmm. So unless the Bucks think Amen Thompson can be the best player on a championship team, which I don't know. I haven't watched enough film. I wasn't prepared. I wasn't ready. You didn't say we were doing this. but like more of the equation for me, IP, do you get the collection of picks and other players to build towards getting the next thing? Because if it's a Giannis or Amen Thompson swap, you've lost already.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I always ask that. I don't know why. I got to stop that.
But like, then the last thing I'll say is like, you just shit on Jalen Green. And then as a national media host, saying that in one game he had 40, but then he had 6 and 8 and 4, but he should be a key piece in the Giannis trade.
Yeah.
What? You can't have both. What are we doing?
He should be a member of the Miami Heat. I really like that point from Simmons and Russillo, like great reclamation project idea for the Heat. I also am just out on players who go bounce around to high school, then to the G League. Like, no, at some point in your basketball career, I want you to be a part of something that isn't just a mechanism for you to go touch yourself and get highlights recorded of you at AAU tournaments. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Can you contribute to a group of people that you connect with and build a basketball thing? And that's never been Jalen Green, but the Miami Heat thing would be interesting. For the Bucks.
The problem with the angle they're taking is they're looking at this trade, trying to make the Rockets better.
Yes. Right.
Leaving the Bucks in their wake.
Right. Yeah.
And if you're did it, that's it just sucks when you like see things so clearly and we're so right about this. And
yes.
People that listen to us are going to be enjoying it. And we're going to be right there and say, good job, way to go. And it's just going to go nowhere.
Right.
We're not going to change anyone's mind. We're not going to stop anything from happening. We're just going to be sitting here with our dicks up our thumbs.
Can I say something bold? You know, which team is the best fit? I think hands down in the entire NBA. Like, stick Giannis on this team, and it's the best fit in the entire world, like, can get no better, is you just give him Siakam spot on the Pacers. Like, that's the best fit. Don't you think so?
What? I can't tell your level of serious.
I'm 100% serious.
He's serious.
That's the best fit in the league. They would never do it. They won't trade him there.
Well, first off, yeah, you can't. Pacers and Bucks, like, no.
It would be like sticking Kevin Durant in the Harrison Barnes spot.
But similarly, then you'd have to say, so it's Siakam plus this, plus that, plus this, plus that for Giannis.
Yes.
And now the Pacers aren't the Pacers anymore.
Correct. I'm just saying if there is a perfect basketball situation where you place him there and it's championship level team right away.
If like Siakam was Giannis, the Pacers win the title this year. That's your angle, then yeah, I get that.
I think they might beat the Celtics. I am overreacting to last night, and I'm enjoying it. It's been
three road games that were, you know what I'm trying to say. Wait, a lot of
why are people stupid enough to go on TV the day after a game and be like, well, that won't happen again. Like, haven't we wised up past that? It's like, that won't happen again in a 7-game series. Like, the fuck, it might. Like, we see it all the time where, yeah, like, what's the, like, that dog can't juggle or whatever. It's the meme that people always use to Trump. And then it happens and all of a sudden the team's eliminated and you're like, oh,
shit. It was like, was that the ESPN graphic that showed every single ESPN personality choosing the Lakers to beat the Wolves?
Yeah.
And, like, it was a 5-game loss by the team that they picked. It wasn't even close.
Yeah, I thought the Lakers were going to win too. I don't know how we all missed on that. I think I wished it into existence. I kept saying
Nico,
I wanted
was right.
16 again.
Mm-hmm. Or that Nico was right.
Nico Imiala was right, or whatever.
Imiala Vola.
All right, boys, always a pleasure.
Hey, I saw a mock draft for the NFL, a way too early mock draft from Todd McShay that said Nussmeier from LSU is the current number one overall pick next year. You guys watch college football, right? Like, is that can't?
I think there's a lot of
he does
projecting of what Arch could be.
No, so Arch wasn't even this was in the McShay projection. Arch was not coming out.
Oh,
so but then.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know.
Really? Like, he's got that level of I don't know. I don't.
Would you have thought Cam Ward a year ago? Probably not.
Cap from Penn State's got to be up there pretty high too, right?
Because, like, I watched Drew Aller play in the bowl game, and, like, he's, like, the 6th overall pick in next year's draft a year in advance. I'm like, he looked like shit. Like, well, I thought watching the bowl game that I watched or the playoff game that I watched.
Yeah.
All right,
gentlemen.
This is fun. I have to pee. Nice to see you both.
Yeah, this is good. Enjoy.
Thanks for stopping into the Winkler verse.